Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Well, this week we've got a great guest, as we do every week, but joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, I say that right, is a producer, a guy who makes demos, he's been in the music business, and he works in the voiceover business, and he's just an all-around great guy. Joe Lesh will be here, and we'll talk about his career and some of his thoughts on the voiceover industry.
Is your equipment paid for? Is it really paid for? You might think you've paid for your gear and you're free and clear, but it could still be costing a lot of money. I'll explain why what you're using now may not be the most efficient way to get your work done and what to look for to improve your workflow.
And in my tip of the week, I'm going to show you guys exactly how to use your eWabs clicker. That's East West Audio Body Shop this Monday night. We're back. 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock out here in the West.
And join us in the chat room with billions of other people, and we'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. How do you like that? Gone for a week and it's like we never left.
I know. On one hand, it's like we never left. On the other hand, it feels like eternity. Just missing one week. It just feels like, I'm glad to be back.
It is. Nice. It was nice to have a week off.
It was. I very much enjoyed having the time off.
And my wife very much enjoyed having... Do I have your attention the entire day?
Anyways, I put in the notes, no chit-chat, get right into it. We'll catch up after the guest.
It's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Have you noticed, though, that we've been getting we get questions from people, so we're always opening our Gmail. It's amazing how many times we've won the Irish lottery. Have you noticed that?
I must filter that stuff out. I don't even notice anymore.
It ends up on my Gmail. Anyway, we do have a fabulous show tonight. Joe Lesh, a great friend of ours, is going to be here. And this guy has seen it all. Mm. And he's still doing it. So we'll have a very interesting conversation with him about voiceover and coaching and demos and his rockabilly band, which I'm looking forward to. I've got my tip of the week, which is brand new, right out of the can. And you have some fresh thoughts about using your old technology, or maybe it's time to update, or what?
Well, this is really, we were talking about it as a topic for the week. It's getting harder, folks, as the shows come along. We want to keep things fresh. But Dan said, hey, think about what you did last week or this past week and look at what might be a good topic. So here's what I came up with. Is your equipment still costing you money? Maybe you've already paid for your equipment. Maybe it's free and clear, but it still could be costing you money. I'll tell you why. I tell you, I work with folks all the time who have, and I'm gonna beat up on some things tonight. I'm going to beat up on Pro Tools. Okay, guys? So we do it all the time. You're used to it. I'm just going to use Pro Tools as the example here. But I get clients who have been using Pro Tools sometimes for a couple of years, sometimes many years. And it's the ones that have been using it for just a few years that are the ones that are the most concerned about. But what happens is they have a tendency to want to stick with what they have because they paid for it, right? It's like you've made the investment in the software, training, whatever it is, and now your thoughts are, people will actually tell me this, I already paid for Pro Tools. I've invested 3 years into learning how to make this work. And I have to say to them nicely, yes, but you've learned how to use it poorly. So would you like to learn how to use it right and invest even more money and time? Or would you like to you know, cut bait, as my friend Rebel says, and try something that's more efficient. So, you know, you have to figure out there's a point in your production, you know, in your voiceover business where it might be time to revamp a few things that you do every day that you've learned to, you know, you've sort of learned to deal with. And the thing is, you may not know they're wasting your time until somebody else, like Dan or I or some other buddy that works in voiceover that is really good and really fast at their production workflow, gets to see how you work and show you how they work. And before you know it, you might realize that you're wasting minutes out of your day here and there, even sometimes up, could add up to an hour or to a week of wasted time. And that's really what I mean by your equipment might be wasting you money. Your equipment might sound perfectly good. Your products might sound perfectly good. You might have no issues getting beautiful recording quality, and everybody might be happy, but it's really a matter of productivity. You might really be losing out on productivity. I'll work with folks that use Pro Tools to this day who still use the bounce function in Pro Tools 10 or older and bounce out their audio in real time. And they don't even realize the time that they've wasted using that. That's just an example. And I'm sure the majority of you folks watching this that have been watching our show for a while know that, you know, that's not a good way to work with Pro Tools if you're trying to work quickly. But we do know that this business is all about being efficient, having a fast workflow. And if you're wasting it on certain things like that, you're not getting on to the next project. And that's probably not a good thing. So you might find that even if you've had to learn that software, go on and try something new. And with a little bit of training, sometimes you'd be surprised how quickly you can learn a new tool. It's like learning a language. If you've learned Spanish, learning Italian is going to be all that much easier. So that's how it is with recording software. So don't be afraid to try something totally new, as long as you've got someone that you can trust to get you up to speed. Plus, there's so much great tutorial videos on software. Don't get hung up. Also, I have clients, or I've read in forums and things, that people try these different microphones and end up settling on a certain mic. And it's amazing how often that mic that they think that they like is the most expensive mic in the collection. You have to listen to your microphones with an objective ear. You'd be blown away sometimes how the least or nearly the least expensive mic you own or in the test can sometimes be the best. And it's really difficult to be objective if you own those microphones. I mean, really difficult. So again, you know, having objective ears to listen to your audio, maybe you might realize that, oh, it's really the $200 mic that really does actually sound the best on my voice. I don't need to keep those X4 or 5 microphones around. They're collecting dust instead of, you know, they could be converting to cash on eBay or something. So, you know, you might want to consider trying a little shootout of the mics you have. You may be surprised as to which mic you end up liking the most. Sometimes it's two microphones that you like the most. Sometimes you just love microphones and you have to collect them. Dan, at this point, you've probably got at least four mics that you would consider totally broadcast or broadcast.
Don't you dare say that. I said broadcast
quality. You have at least four microphones that would be studio professional quality microphones.
Absolutely.
And, you know, use them for different reasons. But at the end of the day, you'll probably find out there's really only one or two mics at the most that most people would ever need in their home studio. So don't stick around with that expensive mic just because it's expensive. I mean, if you've got it free and clear and paid for and you got the money, good for you. But for most of you getting started that are trying to find ways to be productive and not waste money, don't just stick with or go with the most expensive mic. Another way you might be losing or wasting your money is sending out lousy sounding auditions, or sending out auditions that just don't convert or really impress the client, because some coach or director or some other voice actor said, just send them out raw. You know, and I'm sorry. I love Bo Weaver. He's been on our show, and I remember he's one of the first guys I've worked with who I really respected in voiceover, and he would always say, just send it out raw, just send it out raw. The thing is, I think these days when you're doing auditions, just sending it out a raw file is just not good enough anymore. And especially sending out something that wasn't recorded at professional quality. I mean, we talk about phoning it in, but I mean, if you're recording your audition with the built-in recorder app on an iPhone or an Android phone, and in, you know, just sitting in a car or sitting, you know, in a waiting room at a doctor's office. Not that you would ever do that, but you know, it's not just about getting the audition in these days. It's really, you have to send the audition in at the quality that the final product would demand. And I think that's really, really important. And so for me, I really feel strongly that these days that audition needs to have some processing on it. Some. It needs to be just the right amount so that the audio is punchy. The RMS levels, meaning the average volume, is at a certain degree of volume so that when your auditions are played back alongside of 50 or 150 others, your volume of your audition doesn't fall way below somebody else's. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter that the volume of one is lower or louder than the other. And that shouldn't really make the difference as to what audition wins. But believe me, it can make the difference. The human brain perceives audio in such a way that louder things can often be perceived as sounding better. And it's crazy, but it's true. And so if your audio is too low, it might be hurting your chances of winning the audition. So, and also one other thing I'll throw in there, and I'd like to welcome Dan's thoughts on a couple of things too. I'm sure he's got some ideas on this.
Oh, but just a few.
Yeah. I mean, losing out on jobs because of sound quality problems you never even noticed in the first place. Another way your equipment's wasting you money or losing you money, costing you money. You can have a buzz, a hum, or something, or some sort of noise issue that is so persistent and pervasive that you never even notice it because it's just always there. And if you don't
it's
have
like
somebody
playing ukulele next door, yeah, you know, right.
you don't even know if it's
there. Always there. I never even notice it anymore. you have to have that objective ear to listen to that audio and be surprised sometimes. Oh, there's a hum in there. I never even noticed that or whatever. Those things might be being heard by whoever's listening to you, listening to the auditions, and could be hurting your chances. So don't let that equipment you have waste money. Make sure that you know the gear you have at no matter what price point you've invested in it. It could be inexpensive or very expensive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily matter to how the end product is going to sound. And it doesn't necessarily matter that one is going to sound better than the other. Have somebody like Dan and I take a listen, and we'll let you know whether you're in the right place or not, because that equipment you invested in might still be costing you money.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you send out an audition with a hum or a buzz, or your noise floor is just a little bit off, or there's hissing, and we hear it all.
Yeah.
It's round filed in 2 seconds. You know,
yeah.
If you're putting a slate there, you know, Dan went gone. They don't even hear what you had to say.
Don't make it past the slate.
Yeah, so it's pretty important that you learn what it's supposed to sound like, and of course, what it's not supposed to sound like, so you don't do that.
Yeah,
but clearly, if you the equipment you have, you can have really expensive equipment, but if you don't know how to use it, it's really going to show you how bad you don't know how to use it.
Yeah, if it's set up wrong, or if there's a ground hum or a buzz or something, even if it's pretty soft, you may never really notice it because. Maybe you're monitoring through studio monitors and there's a little bit of buzz in the monitors, or there's a little bit of buzz somewhere else. But it's not on the audio, or vice versa. And you don't really notice it. And it's just there, and it's just kind of, you kind of miss it. But when we had Juan Carlos Bagnell on this, this is something that just will resonate with me because he's a casting director. And he talked about how the first few seconds he judges your quality of your equipment and your recording quality. And then kind of, if you pass muster there, then he starts noticing your read. So right out of the gate, you're setting yourself up for disaster if the quality isn't there.
Indeed.
Yep.
Well, and I'm sure Joe Lesch will have some interesting thoughts on that as well.
Hope he does.
We're going to talk a little bit of tech with him when he joins us in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We've got my tip of the week coming up, and we've got some of your questions. And we actually have some questions that we're collecting over the last couple of weeks that we can address.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do that right at the end of this break. So don't go anywhere. I mean, you're here, you might as well stick around. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. Do not go away.
Hey, honey, I bought you a new suit.
Oh, no. What fancy function is it now with all those hoity-toity people?
What are they?
But, dear, it's...
Is this for your work? Please don't tell me I have to sit with your BB again. Boring boss. If I have to, I...
No, it's not that...
Wait, is your sister getting married again? This is like her fourth or fifth time, poor guy. Somebody should warn him about...
Would you just listen?
I'd take any of these over the theater. Please don't make me go to another one of those over-the-top musicals you love so much. They just...
Okay, fine. I'll send it back. I think Dan has a return policy for his studio suits. I'm sure the UPS guy is still outside and
what?
He'll take it
Dan?
Back.
Studio suit? Wait, honey. I didn't mean any of it. I love getting dressed up with you. Your boss is fascinating. Your sister is a catch. Honey, baby. Cats. That's it. Let's go see Cats again. That was my favorite one.
I hate Cats. You know how many times I've seen Cats? Midnight. Oh, shut up.
I've never seen it. Thank you very much.
Well, now I've saved you the trouble.
Thank you.
Anyway, and he threw a studio suit commercial in, and I don't have to do that either.
There you go.
We got plenty. My wife made me stack it up in the basement, so it's off the floor about down there. We have plenty. Come on down. We got more studio suit than you could possibly use. Although, if you want a double insulate, it's fine. But it's working great. And everybody, and I'm getting great reports. People buy it. They throw it in their closets or their booth, and suddenly... It's dead as a doornail.
Yeah, we're gonna be throwing some up in a booth in a custom built booth. Actually, Scott L. Peterson, he's this guy in Los Angeles that makes these really cool modular. Well, not modular, but he builds the booths on site, then he brings them and assembles
custom
them.
Builds. Yeah,
yeah. So they're custom, and we're gonna be putting one of those in and hanging up some studio suits. So I'm curious.
Cool.
I think it's gonna work really nicely.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Years and years of research went into this. A couple of years.
And some anyway. Luck. And some luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a question that we had from one of our viewers?
Well, we have an audio question. Do I dare play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Trevor Jones hailing from Simi Valley, California. When I heard that George Foreman and Leonard Skinner had a show talking about cars, selling Hulk Hogan wrestling headgear, I had
I'm
to check it out.
It.
You don't hear it at all?
So I tuned in, and lo and behold, you guys talk about voiceover. And I do.
I would say, though, the Holy Roman Empire was neither holy nor Roman. So thank you very much.
Well, let me play it back on a different output that you
okay,
can actually hear. Because it doesn't help if you can't hear it. Well, you've already heard the intro of it, so I'll play the rest of it.
Okay.
Selling Hulk Hogan wrestling headgear,
it, right?
I had to check it out. So I tuned in, and lo and behold, you guys talk about voiceover. And I do voiceover. What a fit. Since I'm out of audiobooks, I listen to your show like every day for about an hour.
I hear a little bit of resonance
in
the booth.
And at double speed, I can confirm that it is twice as good. Okay, here's my question. I love tech, and I love new toys, and I've upgraded gear as I've been able to, and I like what I've got now, but I want more stuff. I like new stuff. So, I want to get a Neumann U87 and save up for an Avalon VT737. But you guys always talk about how all you need is a good quiet space with clean acoustics. And I think I have that now. So is there any point in aspiring to better gear? And my second question is, I'm sitting in a tiny closet. It's like barely 2 feet by 4 feet. And I'd love to get a whisper room, 4x6 whisper room or something like that. Part of the reason I want a whisper room or something like that is because there's no ventilation in my closet and I don't want to die. But beyond that, will my sound get any better by having a bigger space than my little closet? Finally, the day my brand new Sony 7506 has arrived, somebody on your show said that they kind of suck and they don't know why everybody uses them. So my question is, should I sell them on eBay to some poor unsuspecting soul and buy your Hulk Hogan wrestling headgear? Or are they okay? Am I going to make it? Thanks, guys. I love your show for real. Can't wait for the next one. Bye.
That was Trevor Jones. Thanks, Trevor.
That's great. What was the first question? I can't quite remember that.
It goes
one.
Back a ways, right? The first question he had was actually about, is it worth aspiring to more expensive recording equipment?
Here's what I say about that. And everybody's heard me say this one before. You don't get great equipment to get work. You work to get great equipment.
Yeah.
And once you've succeeded... And you learn on stuff that is perhaps, I'm not going to say sub quality, everything is good in digital recording these days. You get good stuff and you learn how to use it. Then you can afford to get something a little bit better. But the higher the quality of the stuff you get, the more critical the environment in which you are recording it becomes.
And that leads us to the second question, which is...
Which was?
Should I stick... I mean, am I going to get better audio quality moving to a bigger space? Basically, you're saying I'm in a 2x4-foot closet. Does moving to a 4x6 whisper room, for example, mean you're going to get better recording quality? Yeah, yes and no. I think there's a certain kind of like point where if the room's large enough, it really can make a difference. But I think anything smaller than like 4x6 or 5x8 or something and smaller, if the room's tuned correctly acoustically, I don't think it's going to make all that big of a difference. The problem with a really small closet is because I could hear there's a little
it can't fit in there.
Yeah, I mean, by the time you bass trap,
gesticulate.
Yeah, by the time you bass trap it and everything, it gets pretty tight in there. And I could hear a little bit of ringing low end resonance in his closet. Not much, just it was some. You know, that can be easier dealt with in a larger space. So I'd say yes. The answer would be yes. I think you can get better quality overall in a bigger room. And you know, having a room with ventilation is going to be really nice. But if you get a whisper room, make sure you're going to have to get the enhanced, what they call the VSS, ventilation silencer system, because the ventilation is just too noisy in there.
You know, and then where you just use one of these, and that helps too.
Where you open the door a bunch of times.
Yeah, open the door. And the last question about the headphones. Headphones are absolutely a personal preference. I mean, they are as personal as they get, even more than microphones, I think, because they're touching your body, right? So you got to pick something that you feel like, that you like to wear, what feels comfortable, and that you can afford. If you like the way they sound, go for it. I just don't happen to personally like the Sonys. I think if I was talking about between the Sonys and the Harlins, I'd go with the Harlins because they have a smoother, less harsh sound reproduction. So,
all right.
There you have it.
There it was like the way we used to do the show back in 2011.
Remember when we used to answer questions? We used to love that.
I know. We missed that. If you guys got questions, send them in. We love to talk. This is why we're here. We like to talk shop.
We will answer them.
All right. Well, time for tip of the week.
Yeah, man.
That wasn't enough. You know, of course, we have these wonderful Ewabs clickers, which lots of you are using out there, and very wisely. Here's a tip of the week. Takes that just a step beyond in how you can really code your stuff while you're recording and saving yourself a lot of time. So roll that beautiful bean footage.
Derived from the bacteria Clostridium histolyticum, it requires... Ooh. Derived from the bacteria... Oh, hi. Yeah, we're all one-take wonders, aren't we? The fact is, we all make mistakes. So the best way to make it look like you never make a mistake is to be very good at editing. And one of the ways you can make your editing more streamlined and more efficient is by using certain sound codes that are easy to see within your waveform, like with your Ewabs clicker. Let me demonstrate. Okay, there's three ways I like to mark my waveforms while I'm recording. And each one of them gives me the opportunity to tell exactly what it was that I wanted to correct or that I wanted to mark. One of the ways is simply making a single noise like this, or giving a long boop like this, beep, or using your Ewabs clicker to do that. And I can use each one of these to differentiate between what it was I was trying to either correct or take a look at when I'm visually going over the waveform later on when I'm editing. For example, here's a script, and I will use the different things to show you how I do this. Slide 7. Well, I'll start it off with Slide 7. Recommenders use various filtering approaches to make recommendations to users. Let us review two of the most common recommenders. Content-based recommenders gather attributes of the items preferred by the user and create a user profile of that user's interest.
The user profile is continuously updated with analysis of the owner's preferences from each online activity. Slide 9. To predict how relevant a new item will be to the shopper, the filtering component compares features of the new item to the features of the shopper's user profile. Beep. To predict how relevant a new item will be to the shopper, the filtering component compares features of the new item to the features of the shopper. Beep. To predict how relevant a new item will be to the shopper, the filtering component compares features of the new item to the features of the shopper's user profile. Okay, let's edit this now. First off, I can go through visually through the entire thing and I can see what's what. I can see that there's a mistake here, because that's a single sort of line. Here's what it looks like with the clicker. And another mistake, a boop, where I would, what I would use for showing that I wanted to redo the paragraph again. And as you recall, I did it twice here. But let's go through how I would edit this. Knowing that this is a slide, slide 7, and I slated it, I pre-copied a distance with a marker in it so I can create a similar distance between all slides, like that. It's a second each way. Then if I go over here, let's review. I see that's a mistake. Let us review. So I can take it from, actually all the way from over here, match up to there, silence, edit, go back again, and create. We know that that's the next mistake. There's a breath I could just sort of get rid of there. Then we come to the next slide, which is slide 9. Slide 9, mark that. What do we have here? Relevant. To predict. So we find that there. Knew that was a mistake. Breath there. Could also just take it down 15, 20 dB. The filtering component compares features of the new item to the features of the shopper's user profile. Beep. So there I know that that's the entire paragraph I want to do again, but as you can see, I did it twice. Beep. So I can go all the way over here. Delete that. So now I can go back and actually go into the markers and give them their numbers. This was slide 7, and this one was slide 9. And they're now marked, and I can reference them, or in Twisted Wave, I can actually divide them up by marker and create individual files very quickly with one click. So you can use your own combinations of stuff. You can use, or you can use, or use your clicker, or come up with your own. So what you're doing is creating a code for yourself for different situations. For instance, a slide, a mistake, or a totally redone paragraph, which we did twice. So use these sound codes and make your editing process a lot easier and make your audio sound just right, like you never make a mistake. And that's my tip of the week.
Yeah, what you do in the privacy of your own booth is your own business. But I like making the funny noises. It's easy to go and beep and that sort of thing. And I could probably say some swear word or something, but you know, you never know.
You never know if you leave that in there by mistake.
Leave that in, boom, that there goes that client, unless they have a really good sense of humor. Anyway.
Oh, laughing to myself on that.
Yes. Anyway, so that's a little trick I use for editing. Joe Lash is going to be joining us in just a moment here. We got lots of questions for him and lots more fun stuff coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop. So do not go away. We'll be right back.
Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Annie did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
You're watching East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East. And George Whittam in the West. They're nice guys, but every time I'm there, they never let me make water. So I'm going to go make water right now. I'm a grown man.
All righty, we're back here. And joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, even though he doesn't talk like he's from Nashville, is producer and voice actor and just about everything else. My gosh, there's a lot of stuff on your resume, Joe. Joe Lesh joins us here in East West Audio Body Shop. Welcome.
Howdy, boys.
Hey, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Now you're doing a lot of stuff. You've done a lot of stuff, and you're doing a lot of stuff. But let's you know, start like, you know, as your career got going, say, in the 70s. And how did you end up in voiceover and this entire nut-so business?
Well, you know, during the 70s, I was on the road with a band called Solid Gold, and we used to record for KTEL.
Oh,
you know, KTEL, Solid Gold 50s.
Yeah.
And then I had a recording studio in Denver, and I was working on a soundtrack for a mountain climbing film. And the guy who was producing the film said his buddy was going to come in and narrate it. And so his buddy came in to do the narration, and his buddy turned out to be Robert Redford. And I was so impressed with him that day, because that day he was a voice actor. He was a narrator. And I said, I'd like to do that. So that's really what got me interested in voiceovers. But I didn't really get into it until I moved from Denver to Nashville. And when I moved to Nashville, I worked for Loretta Lynn for 3 years at her publishing company. And after getting bumped off of sessions after writing songs and getting bumped off of sessions because producers had written songs with the artist, after going through that several times, I said, you know, I think I'd rather make money than write songs. So I got into advertising. And that's when things really started to click for me in the 80s.
And that was still a long time ago. Now you also got involved in doing audiobooks. You were producing them. Back then they were books on tape.
That's true. They were books on tape. 1989, the first audiobook I ever did, it was for Zig Ziglar. And that was all tape. They would record different performances throughout the country, and they'd send the performances to me, and then I'd have to take the best of and put them all together. Of course, that was when it was reel to reel, and you rocked the reels of tape back across the heads with the grease pencil, and it was all razor blade editing. I wonder how we got through those days.
But we learned how to do what we do now better than people.
That's true. That's true.
Now it's like drawing with crayons. So.
Oh my gosh, it's so easy. So simple today.
Yeah. And you've also done character voices for the Disney Channel. I mean, doing that from Nashville or from
Hollywood? You know, during the 90s was really active for me. I did a lot of audiobooks for Thomas Nelson, Zondervan Publishing, HarperCollins. And I was sometimes the narrator and more often the producer. So I put a lot of audiobooks together. But I was working on a soundtrack for a cartoon series with Bobby Goldsboro. Bobby Goldsboro used to be a country artist back around the early 70s.
Oh, honey. Oh, you know, God.
Yeah, honey. let's see. Watching Scotty Grow and all those. So he wrote these.
It was another one.
He wrote these scripts for the Disney Channel. And we had Stinger, King of the Bees, Easter Egg Morning, Lumpkin the Pumpkin, Snuffy the Elf That Saved Christmas. And so I was doing all the soundtracks and working on the music and recording all of the characters. So one night he says to me, you know, that evangelistic praying mantis that we had in here earlier, he just didn't give me what I was looking for. Where am I going to find an evangelistic praying mantis at this hour? And I said, Yale, the Reverend Mantis at your service. And he said, great, get in there and do that. And so 6 months later, and about a dozen more voices, I was in about half a dozen cartoons by that time.
Well, that's great. And that's what it's all about. Being in the right place at the right time, but having the goods to give them when the opportunity presents itself.
That's true. Life kind of prepares us for that. Because when I was a kid, I was a ventriloquist.
Oh.
And so I had lots of experience with my dummies, and they with I.
What's the saying? Luck favors the prepared. Is that the saying? How the saying goes?
Say that again, George.
I think the saying goes, luck favors the prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And the harder you work, the luckier you get.
That's true.
I think my father-in-law kept telling me that one. Now, you clearly are qualified to advise other people about this business because you've seen just about every edge of it and succeeded in all of them. Now you're teaching, you're coaching too. Are you have classes in Nashville or you?
I do. I have classes in Nashville at the Actors School in Franklin. It's run by Alan Dysart. He used to be on All My Children years ago. He was the evil Sean Cudahy. Uh-huh. And now he's Mr. Alan Dysart, the really nice guy down the street. And so I do my classes in the Nashville area and he books all those classes for me. And then when I travel around the country, John Florian from voiceoverextra.com books all of those classes. He books Booth Camp. That's B-O-O-T-H, Booth Camp.
Be very careful with that. What do you do with that?
So far I've traveled to Chicago, St. Louis, Atlanta, Orlando, Dallas. We've got several other cities planned this year. And we're working on dates for those. But that so far has been commercial development. And then I've got other classes that I'll return to those cities with, and that'll be in character development for audiobooks and animation. And I'll be down at VoiceOver City in Atlanta, August 1st and 2nd. The August 1st on a Friday night, I'll be teaching looping and ADR. And on Saturday, I'll have an audiobook class.
Very good. Well, you are a busy guy.
I'm trying to stay busy, trying to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Now, this is a fascinating business, and there's so much more now than there was back when you started doing this back in the 80s. I mean, there was not a whole lot of people doing it. You know, there might be two guys in town, maybe a couple of guys at a radio station here, and then all the work was being done in L.A. and New York and some in Dallas and Chicago and stuff. But now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. How do you see the industry today overall? Just an overall generalized statement of how things have changed.
You know, there were fewer people doing it during the 90s. There's many, many more today, but the industry is much larger today than it was in the 90s. And in the 90s, when I was doing an audiobook, I could make pretty big bucks for doing an audiobook. Today, the budgets are not nearly the size that they were in the 90s. Today, it's per finished hour, and you really have to take a look at and see if you've got the stamina for it and if you've got the patience for it, because it does take a lot of time and effort to create an audiobook. And with the current system today, you're just not going to make what you made many years ago. So you have to analyze if you're really good at it, you know, you can make some pretty decent money. If you're not, it's going to take 40 or 50 hours to do 8 hours of finished audio.
Right. And you need to learn how to like ramen noodles and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a can right here.
Oh, good.
I'm going to put those just noodles.
Keep those things around as a reminder of what you're doing. Yeah, audiobooks is an interesting one. Are you still doing audiobooks or just teaching it? Or
I am. Let's see. The last one I did was for Guidepost. The editor there, Edward Grin, and it's about his road to recovery from drug and alcohol abuse. And that's about nine hours of audio. That's my most recent one. But most recently, I've been producing Dave Ramsey. He knocks out a lot of books. He's a financial guru here in Tennessee. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. But he's helped hundreds of thousands of people to get out of debt. He's that kind of guy. I also do all of his children's books. They teach kids at a young age how to handle their money responsibly, and it's called Junior's Adventures. So I do all the character voices and all the storytelling, and those are just great and fun projects. I love to do character voices primarily. I like to be other people.
Yeah. Now, you've actually written 20 children's books?
That's true. I have a series called Bible Stories for Kids Told Through the Eyes of the Animals. And when I cast my people for that, they have to be able to sing in that character voice. I also have a line of American history books for kids. It's called The Adventures of Buffalo Biff and Farley's Raiders. And these are time travelers. So they travel through time, learn about history. It's great for improving their reading skills and also their timing for young actors. So they can follow along with the script and also with the audio. And each time we have a complete adventure with music and sound effects, then we'll hold back with a couple of the lines from the other characters so the child can follow along with the script and fill in the missing lines and become one of the stars.
Wow.
Audio interactive.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Well, man, you're a busy guy. Mm-hmm. Do you take time for lunch or anything like that?
Oh, I do. You know, I've got plenty of time for my wife. You know, she is very supportive. And that's important, too, for a voice actor to have support, people that are really understand your passion for the industry and to be able to support that.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that you do, and you're well known for, and I remember you did a great video on this for VoiceOver Virtual last year. About demos, and demos are something that George and I are going to totally get into over the next couple of months. We have some plans for getting demos on,
not producing them, just getting talking about them.
Yeah, just ripping them to shreds, I think, was the idea. but you know, so you, when, how did you get into doing demos? And tell us a little bit about what goes into making a demo.
Well, I started doing demos about 15 years ago. I've been in voiceovers for about 30 years. Actually, you said on the front end of the show, you said you don't sound like you're from Nashville. Well, I grew up in Los Angeles. Okay. I grew up in Los Angeles and studied acting at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Cool. So
I moved here primarily to work with Loretta Lynn. I've worked for Garth Brooks and Emmylou Harris and have done Foley work and sound effect works for Garth Brooks. I did all the rain and thunder effects on the Thunder Rolls. And so I liked working with music and sound effects and developing a soundscape for different projects using the principles of theater of the mind, which was during the 30s and 40s when families would sit around the radio and listen to all these shows and all the wonderful sound effects and music that went into it. So that's where I got really involved with audiobooks, because my audiobooks that I have on my website, I own all the rights to, and they're all American history based. Now, when I work with music and sound effects, I really got into doing demos because I'd like to listen to commercials, but I like to fill those commercials out more with my technique than some of the techniques that I've heard. And so I like to do commercials. I'd like to take a new talent and make them sound like they have been on the air, because if they're going to present their demo and they're going to get work out there, they need to sound like their commercials have actually been on the air.
Yeah, you've got to convince them that you can handle that type of work. So what mm-hmm. goes into prepping someone to do a good demo?
Well, I think in most cases, it takes a lot of training. Now, you know that sometimes you've got somebody that just has that God-given talent that they just seem to know what they're doing when they're coming out of the shoot. And so I like to work with those people too, but yet there's still something to hone. They still have to hone a skill to a certain point to where they're ready to do that demo. Because in this market, your demo is your calling card. You don't need a bio. You don't need headshots. You need to have a good voiceover demo. Because when the prospective buyers listen to that demo, They're going to listen to that and they're going to say, man, this guy knows what he's doing, or she knows what she's doing. They sound great. They look at all this work they've done, even though the work has been created here in the studio.
Right. But it translates. And if you, it sounds like you know how to do that and make it happen. That's, if you can wow them in the first 5-10 seconds, that's most important.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, most commercial demos are about 60 seconds long. They can go up to a minute and 10, maybe 15 or 20, but I try to keep them around a minute. But I'll have them, I'll say, look, you're going to have about 6 commercials in here and they all have to be about 10 seconds long. But I'd like for you to make a couple of these like 4, 5 or 6 seconds long. And maybe we can get a 7th one in there, because I want to hit the front end of that demo so that the prospective buyer is going to hear at least a couple of commercials before that 10 second time comes up and they turn it off. Right. They're going to have less opportunity to turn it off because we're going to hit them with a couple of quickies on the front end.
Right. Now, another thing with demos, and I think it's important as a demo producer, and I know you're known for this. People shouldn't be doing demos until they're ready to do a demo, because
you
might be able to direct them in one session or edit some stuff together and make them sound great. If they get a job out of that, are they going to be able to deliver somewhere else on somebody else's direction?
That's right. And sometimes it's so hard to cool people's heels when they want to jump in and just move ahead so fast. I always advise people to take baby steps. You take baby steps, take your time, hone your skills, get really good at this. Because even if you get in the booth right now and I'm going to produce you, I want to hear that you've got confidence. And if I don't hear that you have confidence, then you're not ready to do a demo.
Absolutely.
Confidence is everything.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick little break here. And if you've got questions for Joe, tell Anthony in the chat room. We got a bunch there already. We'll try and get through those. And we want to look at his studio, too. So stay tuned for that. But speaking of great equipment, again, great segue. Harlan Hogan, this guy right here.
Well, look at there.
Yes, there. Well, you can't actually see that in the picture there. He's like, Harlan Hogan is there. The VO1A microphone, great little thing to get, a great price point. It's actually, if you're looking for a new mic or you're starting out, and you know, you're using a lapel mic, this might be a good one to go for. The VO1A was designed. What's that?
If you're using a snowball, yeah.
If this is definitely another or, step to take. This is a definite, much bigger step up.
Yeah.
It's a great mic. It was tuned specifically for voiceover. And Harlan looked at a bunch of different models. They modded this one, and it's made specifically for doing voiceover. Sounds great with guys, sounds great with gals. It probably sounds great with animals too. And elves and that sort of thing. But if you want one of these, you can only get it in one place, and that is at voiceoveressentials.com. And you go over there, you look at all the stuff he has, and he's got some great deals that go along with it. You can get this with a Micboard Pro or all these other things. Plus, he's got access to all the other equipment you can get. But he's made the selections for you, and he's created his signature series line of stuff, like the VO1A voiceover mic, and of course the Harlan Hogan signature series headphones, and all the other stuff that we like to make fun of with Harlan. But it actually works. The guy thinks about this stuff.
You can take a listen to the mics,
the Plus, they're all these things.
Yeah, they're on the website. You can take a look if you scroll down to the bottom of the NT the VO1A page. There's even some samples, audio samples, that some folks that tried them out, including yours truly. I was daring enough to compare it against a U87 in a studio, and Harlan was put that up there. So I mean, you can hear it in comparison to other mics with other voices, or if you really want to try it in the best possible way, get one for yourself. He will take it back if you don't like it.
He has
a no questions asked refund policy. Can't beat that.
And great customer service.
Yep.
So go over to voiceoveressentials.com. He's got the best stuff out there. Thanks, Harlan. Thank you for being with us since the beginning of the dawn of time.
That's right.
And this show.
Thank you.
Let's see how he takes that one. Anyway, we're back here with Joe Lesch. And why don't we take a quick tour of your studio? Because that looks like a dandy studio.
Boy, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're actually going to do something. This is something totally unique we've done on this show. We're going to do a tour with another camera.
Yeah, he's got his other computer rigged up.
That's right. So let's take a look and see what goes on here. All right. There we are. All right, there's the booth.
And, see the booth okay?
We can see the booth okay.
All right. This is my studio where I can get about 10 students in here.
Right on.
Very nice.
There's a big screen back there. Now I'm taking you into the booth.
Is this the top story of your house?
Yeah, it's over the garage.
Okay.
Ah, perfect place nice. For it.
Yeah.
This is a custom built booth and with all the right acoustical accoutrements.
I like that you don't have a flat ceiling, you know, you've got that peaked ceiling.
Yeah.
The vaulted ceiling.
Yeah, that's my hard surface. You know, like the studio area that I'm in right now is called a semi-dead room because we have a hard surface ceiling. Yeah. And then the booth is a dead room because it has 2 half inches of Celotex, which is a sound absorbing material underneath the burlap.
Right.
And also has a free floating floor.
Very nice.
So if you go wow. in the booth, it's quite an experience when you go in there because the students will go in and they'll go, oh my gosh, I've never heard anything this quiet.
Good practice for being in a real real like big commercial showy studio someday where they get to feel that environment before. It's cool to get to practice in a studio like that before they go out into the real world.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes they'll get auditions off of voices.com and then they'll come over here to do the actual project.
Did you have a heck of a hard time getting a nice quiet air conditioning system in there? It gets warm down there in Nashville.
I use flexible duct and we snaked it around about a dozen times.
Yeah.
And so that by the time the flow gets to the exit, you know, it's perfectly quiet.
Yeah. That works real well. It's an easy, relatively cheap solution. As long as you got like an attic or a crawl space up there where it runs around, or is it in a soffit or something?
No, there's a little bit of attic space left up above the ceiling.
Good, good.
And so it ravels around up there.
Very cool.
Cool. All right, we got a bunch of questions, mostly from somebody who loves to ask a lot of questions. we'll take one or two of them, JS.
We'll mix it up.
Yeah, all right. Well, but his first one's a really good question.
Yeah.
JS Gilbert out in South San Francisco asks, what is the biggest challenge or difference in doing voiceover work now and, say, 10 years ago?
It's just as much fun today as it was 10 years ago. I'm still having a ball. I'm enjoying life. And, I'm not seeing a challenge. The challenges are any more stringent than they were back then. The opportunities were there then. The opportunities are here now. And we're able to knock out and do our craft on a daily basis. I do about 2 or 3 sessions a week in Brazil. I mean, technology is amazing. I've got a producer down there that I work with, and most of the sessions are in English. A few of them are in Portuguese, but it's just amazing that you can be doing work on the other side of the world in today's technology. So I would say that it's not a challenge. It's just made life a little more easy for us.
All right. Steve Tardio asks, and this raised a good, I was thinking about this too. So you were doing animation. You're doing it from Nashville, not in Los Angeles.
That's true. Bobby Goldsboro, he lived here in Nashville at the time, and he got this contract with Disney. And so this is where he decided to do his work. And it just so happened that I happened to be his engineer. And then eventually many of his voices.
it was a pretty great opportunity to not have to be in Los Angeles for that kind of work.
Absolutely. JS had another question.
I was going to say it dovetails with JS's other question. Yeah,
Would
he say that most of his work comes from local connections, L.A., New York, or somewhere else?
Most of my work?
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry, your work.
You know, I've been in the business for about 30 years, and I've been doing work with Thomas Nelson and Zondervan, HarperCollins, and several other publishers like Pacific Press. And because I've been in the business for so long, I have a lot of friends, a lot of people that are still in the business, and we're scratching each other's backs. And so I'm not really getting that much work through auditioning. I'm getting more work through word of mouth. And so that has worked out really well for me.
That's great.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, everybody's got a different way of doing it, but there's just so much work out there. You know, you keep throwing your line out there, eventually someone's going to bite on it.
Mm-hmm. That's
if
true.
You got really good bait.
and teeth.
And teeth. Well, yeah, that always helps with the enunciation.
But working your community is big, right? Absolutely. Knowing your community, your connections that you you're within is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The Chris McKella asks, would you advise acting lessons in order to develop voice acting for animation?
Absolutely.
And you teach those, don't you?
I don't. I did. I used to teach on camera classes, but no, I don't teach acting classes. I do teach voice acting classes, but I have a strong emphasis on acting. Now, Alan Dysart of the Actors School in Franklin, he has a lot of on camera classes, different kinds of techniques. He's got a lot of improv. Improv is great for voice actors. It helps you to prepare yourself to be able to think on your feet, think more quickly. Improv is really right up there when I recommend those type of classes.
All right. Our in the chat room producer, Anthony asks, do you coach over Skype and what genres do you teach in addition to audiobooks and ADR?
Character voices, commercial development, but I like to work with actors so they can become more conversational. When new actors are getting into the business, they're just reading and they can't hear the difference between conversing and conversation. And so I like to work with actors to get them to that point to where they sound conversational. And then I like to work on their confidence.
And that's important. Now, Devox, unusually with only one question so far. And this is, I think, going back to audiobooks, not to jump topics, but we were talking about this. What percentage of time do you spend preparing, including pre-reading, et cetera, versus reading, recording, versus editing and proofing? So it's a longer question. So what is the total amount of time spent per finished hour that we were talking about before?
Well, it could be anywhere from 6 to 8 hours per finished hour, but I think that you should get it down to about 3. It should be around 3 hours to get that one hour.
Mm-hmm. Three to one seems to be the popular.
3 to 1, word. Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan Cundiff, to slate or not to slate? What is your approach?
To slate or not to slate for what? Audition?
For an audition.
An audition. Okay. I always slate. I'll say, this is Joe Lesh and I'm reading for the part of, and then go into my audition.
Right. And what if your agent has sent you? Is usually mention the agency or?
Generally, I was referring to voices.com or voice123.com if you're doing that type of internet audition. But if your agent has sent you, you definitely have to say the agent's name too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jay Sawyer asks, are you using ISDN or some other form of transfer like the ones that we like to talk about?
You know, ISDN is it's going to the wayside eventually. And IDTP? You guys
Ipdiddle.
Yeah, Ipdiddle. Source Connect. There's so many alternatives today. And ISDN is very expensive. And it's not worth it for me. And the only reason it's not worth it for me is because generally, having been in the business for this long, that the work that comes to me, I'm hired as the producer. And so if I'm going to be on ISDN, that means that somebody else is producing me. And so I just don't need ISDN. So I'm just so fortunate in that aspect to not have to need it.
Oh, okay. Well, that then leads me to want to ask you, as the producer, do you like using tools like ISDN, even like Source Connect or Ifdiddle? Do you like the real-time recording aspect, or do you just prefer to have them send you the files?
I prefer to have them send me the files.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that shows how important it is to have your personal studio up to Joe Lesh's snuff.
And there you go.
When you're sending that stuff out, I think it was Maurice Tobias was saying that, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be done via your personal studio in the future, and mm-hmm. that some of these other technologies, they'll still be important, you know, yeah. when somebody needs to actually direct you on something. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, every audition you do should be ready, like for production when you send it in.
Because that's true.
One of the things that's going to make a difference when mm-hmm. you know, when a casting director mm-hmm. is looking at that sort of thing.
Right.
Let's see. Scott Chambers asks, what do you do to warm up before your sessions?
Tongue twisters. I start with that. She stood in the doorway of Burgess's fish store shop, inexplicably mimicking him and welcoming him in. You know, whatever.
Yeah. I got to write that one down.
Okay.
We can roll back the tape later.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. That's a good one. Boy, because, boy, when you start off, that's probably the worst thing that happens is you're like, blah, blah,
blah, blah. And that's true. It helps you to enunciate more clearly and start to use those mouth muscles that are so needed when you're, especially when you're going to do a 2, 3, or 4 hour session. You know, you have to enunciate clearly.
Absolutely. We got one more here from the Chris McCalla. Sending demos to an ad agency or production house. Do you want to include a bio? Should I send something similar to a media kit with details about me along with the demos, or simply a short note and the demos on a flash drive?
Short note, always. You know, I don't send a bio. I don't send a headshot. My demo is my calling card. Either I'm the voice they want or I'm not. And mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. My schooling doesn't matter. I don't care. My college doesn't matter. What matters is that voiceover demo. Anything else is additional work you're asking them to do. They have enough stuff to do during their day and they go, oh my gosh, now I've got to look through this whole bio. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, really. Jeremy Stone asks, what mic you're using?
I use a Neumann U87. It's in my booth, but the one I'm using right now is a Chinese knockoff mic. they stole that design, and they forced them to stop selling these, but I got one before they made them stop, and it's called the Avlex 79 S79.
Oh, far
and out. It's as opposed to my $3,000 mic in the booth, this one was $150. And you know, I'll try it out on different talent, because some talent that comes in here actually sounds better on this mic than on the Neumann U87.
Yeah.
And so I'll move them around to different microphones to find out what mic complements their voice best.
Yeah, dovetails into what I was saying at the very top of the show. It's just not the most expensive mic in the collection is the one that you have to, that's not going to be your go-to mic necessarily. Could that's be true. One of the cheaper mics in the club. Plus mm-hmm. everybody can, it helps to have a stunt mic. You never know. You might need a stunt mic.
Stunt mic. I like that. Mm-hmm.
I had a question actually, because, you know, I postulate a lot about stuff, you know, whether you should do this or should do that. But at the end of the day, I am just a tech, you know, I am just a geek engineer guy.
Oh, you're more than that.
Well, I'm just, you know, accumulating the knowledge of all of you out there. I'm, you know, I don't have the years of experience that you guys do, but, you know, I've been teaching setting up my clients to send out auditions that are produced, you know, a bit produced sounding, you know, they've been leveled and downward expanded a little bit and limited and some tasteful EQ and stuff. And, you know, I've been telling people that they need that competitive advantage to have their auditions to really be competitive sounding. Do you think that's wise? Do you think it's still kind of going to work against them? Or do you think that trend has shifted? To, you know, the trend from going totally raw, just read it, normalize, send it off, or, you know, doing a little bit to sweeten it up.
I see. Well, you know, when you normalize, I mean, you are doing a little bit to sweeten it up.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I think it definitely needs to be normalized because so your audio will at least be level. You know, when I do an audition, I simply do nothing more than to normalize it and maybe edit a couple of things, edit out the mistakes, of course, because mm-hmm. I'll do some pickups, take out the bad, leave in the good, and send it off. Auditions are usually a timely thing, and so you want to be in on the early end of getting your audition in. Because if, for example, if you're doing a pay-to-play site, you don't want to be number 45. You'd rather be number 14 or something mm-hmm. Fast or something before that. Because mm-hmm. By the time they get to 45, they're going to stop listening.
Yeah, very good point. Do you have anything on your front end? I don't know if you mentioned it during the tour. Are you just going mic preamp AD converter, or do you have any processing going on at the front end, leveling, compressor?
No processing. Gotcha. No processing. I'm just going right into, I'm using Inbox right now, but I want to mm-hmm. look at that Focusrite because that was something that was recommended by Dan. So I want to do some AB, some comparisons and see if I need to make some changes here.
Well, you know, well, we say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Well, I mean, for the price of say a 2i2, it's worth having around. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's been my go-to for a while, you know, and I still keep my Apogees and the other things. It's good to mm-hmm. have a few because if one craps out, you want to be able to shove the other one right in there.
Yeah. That's true.
So mm-hmm. it might be a good one to, you know, try mm-hmm. and then you've got a backup.
I got a question I'd like to ask you too.
Sure.
Am I going to see you guys in Anaheim in August at Voice 2014?
I believe you are.
Indeed.
All right. Good. Good. Are you going, George?
I will definitely be there.
Excellent.
I have no excuse not to be. It's, you know, it's only 40 miles away. But but also my employer is Edge Studio, and of course they're
excellent. Yeah.
You know Edge. Major you know sponsor. Edge and those sponsorships.
Yeah, it'll be good to see David Goldberg out there.
Indeed. I'm looking forward to having a hangout. You know, I've worked for David now for almost a full year, and we rarely, if ever, see each other or get to hang out. It's like two ships in the night, you know?
He's an incredibly nice guy, isn't he?
He is. He really is. I'm looking forward to seeing you again out there in Anaheim. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm looking forward to meeting you. I mean, we've sort of met online a pile of times, but... And I remember teaching a class via Skype to your group in
TiVo, Tennessee Voiceover Exchange, right. Monthly meetup group.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, but I'm looking forward to meeting you in the flesh.
You want to squeeze one or two?
A couple of other quick questions here.
I think we already answered. Joe, we kind of covered that.
Yeah.
We covered Jay's question, but Diana Birdsoul says, how does Joe avoid the sore throat syndrome?
Well, I take good care of myself. I work out about 3 times a week. I wash my hands a lot, especially if I've been shaking hands with a lot of people during the winter time and during the cold and flu season. So I try to stay healthy. I try to stay on top of things as much as I can. My wife is excellent with cold remedies and stuff like that. So she keeps me pretty healthy, and I'm usually able to avoid those types of things.
Right on. And last one from Sandy McKee. Hey, Joe, what do you recommend for mouth noise and or clicks?
Well, generally, if you start clicking, it's a sign of dryness. So lubrication, you know, drink more water. Mm-hmm. If you have allergies and you've taken an antihistamine in the morning and you seem to be particularly dry and you start clicking, you could carry around a couple of slices of green apple. Chew up those slices of green apple thoroughly before you swallow them, because that will restore the juices to your mouth and it'll get you through the session. Dryness is usually the part where the clicking comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't eat spicy stuff before your work.
Or dairy.
Well, Joe, it has been a thorough pleasure having you on the show this evening. We've been looking forward to it, and we're glad you're on. And gosh, you're a busy guy.
Well, time flew.
Thank you, guys.
You got your fingers in a lot of pies.
I'm enjoying life. I'm just thrilled where it's taken me, you know?
All righty. Well, thanks for being with us, and we're looking forward to seeing you in August.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
Good night. Bye-bye. Man.
We'll be right back. We got still got some stuff left, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
All righty, we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop, and thanks again to Joe Lesh for joining us from Nashville, Tennessee. You know, we forgot to ask him about his rockabilly band, and you know,
you got to have something for next time. You know, leave him one more.
Well, I know, but he wanted us to mention that they're playing the Road Crew. America's Route 66 band is performing at the International Route 66 Festival in Kingman, Arizona in August.
Oh, right. And,
And there's actually a website for that.
I'll post it on the screen.
Yes, Route66KingmanFestival.com. So make sure you, if you happen to be in the Kingman area on your way to California, boy, I you know how many times I've driven through Kingman?
Kind of flyover country, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you see it down there. And, you know, there's Monument Valley. There's Kingman. Or there's the Grand Canyon. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I love flying across the country. This is, you know, the fruited plain is really something. You know, you keep thinking this is the play. The world, the country is overcrowded. And then you just get on a plane. And you're like, there ain't nobody here for hundreds of miles. But lots to see. Lots to see.
Yeah.
All righty, we have a few announcements here. Let's see here. First off, thank our donors. You guys, you can donate to the show because it's not free what we put on here. We have to pay for a couple of different production costs, so we appreciate your help on this.
And the more
and
viewers
this week,
more viewers we have, the more expensive the show gets.
That's
how it works with Ustream.
We pay for viewer hours here.
We have to pay off Ustream to keep those ads away, those national ads. Right. You know, I don't have a problem with people making money on the show. I mean, the ads need to be there to pay for the stream. I get it. But their ads run right over top of our show. Like, they just run us right over. So, you know, we got to keep those ads away.
Absolutely. But we'd like to thank our donors, Jeremy K. Stone, Benjamin Lichtenwalner.
That's a great name.
That is. Benjamin Lichtenwalner.
Lichtenwalner. Love it.
It might be Walner, but it was Lichten, I had to put the V.
I figured.
And thank you, Benjamin. We really appreciate it.
And, of course,
Eric Aragone.
Yeah, you can't miss Eric Aragone. I didn't even put him on here because his name is in memory.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's there for eternity.
He has not missed a week in, I think, like
a couple of years,
at least a year. Yeah, oh yeah. Wow. It goes way, way back with him. Amazing. Amazing.
You're going to be in New York.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to be in New York next week. I'm going to fly into New York on Monday, the 9th, and I will be doing the show that night from Edge Studio, actually. Excited / nervous. It seems like every time we do the show from the road, you know, something new goes wrong. But I think we did it enough times, and I'll be doing it from inside one of the studios at Edge. It's going to be nice and quiet, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We might get David on for part of the show. I don't think he's going to be in studio, but we might be able to get him to come in over Skype, and then we can show around the studio a little bit, give a little nickel tour. So that should be fun.
Yep.
And then I'll just be there all week. I'm seeing clients. I've got numerous spots on Thursday and Friday wide open. If you guys, if anybody in New York area would like me to come make a visit, please let us know over at vostudiotech.com. And I'd love to come see you. And I'll also be kind of coattailing it at the Promax convention that's going on that week. So hope to see anybody in town for Promax. So if you're in town for Promax, please let me know. I'll be there. I'd love to hang out, have a drink or two with you. And if you'd like to come by the studio, please let me know too. That could be a lot of fun.
You're going to be lonely. There's nobody in New York.
Yeah. And especially in June. Who wants to go to New York in June?
Yeah, really. next week, while George is over at Edge Studios, we're going to be talking with Colleen Marlowe and Deborah Diane from the Diane Institute.
That's right.
They got some interesting voiceover stuff going on there, and we'll hear all about that. Then on June 16th, totally unique. Now, you're going to be in Florida. I've done the show once from Florida.
I know, it's my turn.
Backyard. Now it's your turn.
I haven't been to Florida in years. It.
The announcer's place, Doug Turkel's.
I know. It's part of my East Coast tour. I'm going to be in New York, then Philly, then down to Fort Lauderdale. And I'm going to go down to Doug's place, give him a work in his studio. I'm going to work in Jerry Pelletier's studio. Jerry's the whole reason I'm going to Florida. Jerry said, I want you to come to Florida. And he made it happen. So that's I'm great. Going to Florida thanks to Jerry. And then I'll be going over to Doug's. And we'll do the show live from Doug's place, and we'll do a roundtable. It's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, you got to take the train.
The train,
the train. Where are you gonna be in Florida? Starting, you're gonna be in Miami.
Well, I mean, so you can... Doug's towards Miami. Jerry's in the Fort Lauderdale area. So
that's close enough. They can take a cab.
Yeah, I'll probably rent a car because I'm going to be hitting about five different studios, I think, in two days. Okay.
Yeah, you can't do that on the train. There goes one.
Yeah, I might do. I'm going to rent a car. It'll be worth it for this trip.
Yeah. Doug got to pick me up at the train station once. That was cool. But we're going to be doing a Marketing Masters Roundtable.
Yep.
You know, Doug is one of the top people when it comes to marketing your voiceover business. But we've got some other folks going to be in on that one, too. So that one is one you do not want to miss. So we talk about marketing your voiceover business.
That's right.
All right. And we got a lot of other people we're planning on over the summer. We're still trying to decide. Do we want to do like every other week during the summer? We did that like the first year we were on. But, you know, Monday night's not quite as bad. Sunday night during the summer. That's a whole nother deal.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Anyway, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the one and only amazing Harlan Hogan, John Florian over at VoiceOver Extra for all his promotional help. And of course, your wonderful employer, Edge Studio.
Good folks over there. Good people.
Absolutely. And please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @ewebs_show. And of course, if you missed the show, one, you're not hearing us say this right now, but you can watch it on YouTube at youtube.com/EWABSShow with two S's, EWABSSHOW.
That's right.
Okay, you get to do the closing remarks.
Closing remarks. I've been
babbling all night.
We have to thank our wives. Thank you, wives, for letting us do this show and not kicking us out of the house.
Yeah,
Catherine Curden for getting Joe on the show today and all of our great guests. And she's been wonderful, a real rock for the show for the last 2 years producing. Anthony Gettig in a chat room who's keeping the questions flowing and keeping people nice to each other.
In line.
Thanks. Keeping them in line. Jack DeGolia, who's helping us with unbelievably great show notes, keeping them time logged and everything. So when you go into YouTube, you can look in the comments and you'll see the show notes with times and you can click on the times and jump right to that point in the video. Super cool.
Right. And they're working on EWABS Essentials too, which we're now going to have a bunch of those.
Tim McKeon, whose name is not in this notes here, but Tim McKeon is going to
Tim McKeon. Yeah, we just said it there. So
yeah, we're going to make sure that we get these essentials going with him. And Jason Lawson has been working on the show in a while. He's been trying to heal up. So we're hoping he's feeling better. And Lee Penny, who does our podcasts, gets the podcast up every week for you guys that listen to the show. Very important part of our audience. Thank you, Lee, for helping that happen every week.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this week. Yeah, we had a huge crowd tonight.
It was awesome.
I didn't get to play my ukulele too much. Amazing. I took it out of the case. And it was right in tune.
Amazing. It is pretty good. You must not have a 5-year-old in the house.
That might do it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Not a sister, Daddy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Again, our thanks to Joe Lesh and all of you for tuning in this week and every week. We love having you here. You're the reason we do it. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have yourselves a great week. We'll see you next Monday night.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye-bye.